sorry.
Yeah, up here, Calvin Hill.
Yeah. With the Joel Cowboys to sign.
I ask you to sign on it.
And there's a giant hand. And it is a little short. But it might be appropriate wire service sort of thing.
Oh, sure.
Well, wire service.
Wire service?
We use the wire service.
Yeah, fine. And do we have what kind of things have we got?
Well, we have a call of viewers for a little boy.
And then probably
we can handle it with the cabinet, so other people over there.
Yeah.
We'll look at a little boy in the hand and she uses the sign quite well.
You know, why don't you give the sign the football.
Okay.
terrible. You think all we got are touchdowns?
No.
He fumbles for touchdowns.
Well, it's funny because that's the best game ever.
Yeah.
I said, there's just None of these other witnesses will offer any evidence. There's no offer of proof they can make that will hold up. If we were talking about a court of law, no judge would accept any offer of proof because they can't make any offer of proof to show any linkage. I said, if there is a desire on the part of some of the senators on your committee to pursue an inquiry into IT&T, that should not be related to Kleinmeist, and they can pursue that in another forum. You've led an antitrust subcommittee, and Bill Hart is chairman of it. But it's imperative that we bring these Kleinmeist hearings to a close. And he said, I'm fearful that that'll be damaging to Kleinmeist, maybe damaging to the president, because people say you're trying to shut off evidence. And I said, but it's damaging, Mr. Chairman, to continue this. He said, all right, Clark, I will do as you ask, and I will vote. If Hugh Scott makes a motion, or Roman Huska makes a motion, or anybody else makes a motion, I will vote for it to terminate the hearing. But I think you're making a mistake, and he's called John Mitchell, as I expected he would in this game. He told John Mitchell it's too much of a power play, and we ought to have a few more days for the hearings to run. And I felt it was imperative, Mr. President, I talk to you about this, because I think it's in the interest of everyone that we terminate these hearings, and I have pushed pretty hard, and I'm meeting with all of the members of the Senate Judiciary Committee on our side, the Republican senators, in Senator Huska's office at 1:45. We're trying to get them all there.
Does he really believe that the hearings are
going on? Well, he said at least until we've heard Lichtman and Leisure, the lawyer. I said we can take that. We can get sworn statements from them and have them in your hands tomorrow morning.
Well, the point that I made is this. I'm trying to figure out Eastman's motivation. I don't know. He says he wants Kleinmeist confirmed. He wouldn't think he wants to be fighting Kennedy's game. Yet, here he is saying, well, that the hearings ought to go on. But why did Mitchell object to closing the hearing?
No, he said, well, Clark, couldn't you accommodate the chairman by letting him run another day? Thursday, for example, and have Lichtman and Leisure down to testify. And I said, well, I'm not absolutely sure that that's going to be in our interest to have them testify. But my understanding is that Lichtman is not a strong witness. She'll say that she knows how to spell commitment, and the word commitment that appears four times in the Anderson Memorandum is not typed by her. But I said, once you get a witness there with the open rules they have, with all sorts of hearsay, you don't know what she's going to say, and we're better off to have her sworn statement. And I said, John, I don't know Leisure, and I haven't heard what he's going to say, but I understand he's going to say that Dita Beard told him something that's at odds with what she told, testified under oath at Denver. So he isn't going to help.
She tells everybody she looked at what her hell did she drag this 600,000 into. She's crazy. What does it require from you?
I don't know. Mr. President, I've met Dita Beard
a couple
of occasions. But when I've met her, she's used language that would offend a Marine drill sergeant, and she usually has too much to drink. Why a fine company like IT&T would
care?
It's, I think, that Janine personally was admired very much the fact that she was gutsy and supported by a kid without a husband, or at least without a husband that contributed at all. And I think it was that respect for a gal that made her own way and provided education for five children that was somewhat sentimentally affecting Janine's judgment, but she should.
With regard to the cutting off of the hearings, I suppose that you mean Eastman's going to say this is a power play by the White House to cut it off. I suppose that's our problem.
What he said to John Mitchell was power play. He said this is yes, that's what I'm concerned about, because I'm the one who's the applying the power. And he said it'll look bad if, in order to get
this cover up.
He said that's
what that's up to him.
I said that, when you have loose hearsay, secondhand hearsay evidence about $600,000 that makes a headline in the Washington Star, I said that's very damaging too. It's a question of trying to find the least damaging alternative that's available to us. And I've talked to Eastman, not as if he were 100% ally, as if he were mostly an ally. Because, as you say, Mr. President, what's Eastman up to? What's his motives? He has said to me you know, Clark, I can't refuse the request of four senators on my committee.
Do you have tomorrow up here to be here? What are the senators on?
Senator Fresca, Senator Scott, Senator Cook are the three I have personally talked to individually, and they say they are, they feel we ought to move to close the hearings tomorrow. And they're happy making such a motion.
Scott this morning indicated next week for business. But I couldn't, I understand, I am pressing on. In other words, he didn't think anybody would fire, maybe he was wrong, but he was in two people to pay.
Well,
I mean, what you're asking here is a judgment call. So whether we ought to press the hearing closed or take another week without a damn thing?
No, I want to sort of, you to know precisely what I've done. And I did so on the basis of...
Well, I think it ought to be, it seems to me that it ought to be the action of the committee rather than the action of the White House. That's the important thing. If easily talks that way, the White House is trying to close the hearing, that would be very damaging, you know what I mean?
Sir.
You've got that, I suppose that's our problem, Clark, is to refuse that our action.
It's a committee action. It's the action that the committee takes.
Yeah.
We certainly can't control the action of the Senate Judiciary Committee. We can request.
Yeah, well.
Senator
Mitchell felt you shouldn't do it.
Mitchell felt we ought to let one more day run. He said if Eastland will agree, close the hearings after Thursday, instead of just pulling through this through, maybe we should do that and have Lakeman and Leisure come out and testify. And I said to John Mitchell, if you...
Of course, I don't know that makes much difference. I mean, if you could have a compromise, in other words, it's just getting closed. I don't know if you could get them closed Thursday, that's as good as Wednesday, but my view is, I guess you couldn't do that, because I think you'd have to go over to I understand the following.
That's what I'm afraid of. And
but you didn't have a whole week for the bastards to talk about. But suppose what is the move if they close the hearing and what happens?
So I asked Senator Eastland, I said, I'm sure you're going to be faced, sir, if we win this motion tomorrow with a request on the part of Kennedy to have 30 days to file a supplementary report. He said, I won't permit that. He said, there's no need for a supplementary report. I'll communicate to Senator Mansfield that the action taken by the Senate Judiciary Committee and our desire to start the debate in the Senate.
Does Mansfield agree that will be immediately scheduled?
No.
What has he agreed?
He said to me yesterday that when I get the advice and counsel of the Senate Judiciary Committee, I will schedule the confirmation debate in due course. He didn't say he'd schedule a meeting. I may turn for a moment to another subject.
Yeah, sure.
I, of course, was not present at the informal session that Henry Kissinger had with the members of the House Committee on Foreign Affairs this morning. But there appeared to be a difference of opinion between Henry Kissinger and Dick Cook as to whether there should be an official record made with a court reporter. Dick Cook said no, and Henry said it was his understanding that that's what you wanted. I said, I think not.
concerned that it's a hearing by the Henry Lawrence? He does mine.
I'm not sure that he does, Mr. President. Dick Cook said to me that Henry wanted one.
Was one made?
No. And there should be one this afternoon. He's meeting with the Senate Committee on Foreign Relations. And this should be billed as just another in the series. Henry's done this two or three times before, informally in a social setting, visiting with the members of the Senate Committee on Foreign Relations without any
interaction. They make their notes or anything they want. They don't do anything. Wait just a minute. Let's see. Have you got around? You got a mic?
No, sir. I've intruded on your time and your schedule, Mr. President.
Well, don't worry about that.
All right.
Let me ask you to do one other thing. Tom's questioning this morning disturbed me because I was assured by Ehrlichman that you know, he had a whole program for informing the members of the House and Senate, and I told him particularly, I gave direct specific orders that that group of, you know, hardliners from the House that came in, as well as any senators to the Southern group, should be briefed on this thing, because there's a, you've got a perfect case if you lay that out there. When I say a perfect case, you shouldn't have you, sorry, if you get a constitution amendment, you will say, you know, second, that what the steps you can take when the moratorium will help some of us, everybody, in, to some degree. It is unfair to the South by itself, but third, then it's also try to get the other thing, and it does reopen the jury as well as the fact that those things should be pounded on to these guys. So if you get everybody lined up, at least our friends on the company. What happened here? Did they just, we just dropped the ball? They don't talk to the senators as soon as we have them, or they're all we fought now, I guess.
Well, we may, you know, no, I don't think it is too late. I made a note, sir, when you mentioned setting up a meeting, and asked Dick Cook to find out what their plans were. The House is going to be in session late tonight, and they may go over tomorrow, because there's a bitter debate on this water bill. And it isn't too late to set up a meeting tomorrow morning with those people to hammer at these points.
Well,
when you say that we dropped the ball.
I don't understand. I just thought I meant St. Peter, but I told her, it's early in this job. And he said, we got an old client in this and that. I said, all right. And then I guess I just assumed the Southerners would understand it, but they didn't.
What I did, Mr. President, immediately after the Friday press conference, involving John Ehrlichman and Dick Lennon-Meets and Hastings and the others. I got copies of the verbatim transcript for all the Republicans and all the Democrats. I thought would be helpful to us, and got these in their hands to answer some of these questions.
That probably won't do it. You see, you've been in the House, and you know what the situation is. The average House member in Senate members got to have it spelled out in about one page, and a few salient points where you've got to hear it there, and you've got to give it a cockeyed head. Otherwise, it isn't that big, huge transcript that will come in and you won't study it. I wonder if maybe they just don't have to hear it correct.
Well, they do.
Who could do it? Correct, it's not here. Show us in.
I think if George and I went up, sir. I think if George and I met with a group of the Southerners.
George Shultz does understand that, but he isn't particularly. Well, what I meant is, he's got it tilted to the busing people. I mean, Richardson's thing was fine this morning, except it was tilted to the
education people,
and God knows, that's fine, but Clark, that isn't our problem.
No.
I mean, education people are never going to be satisfied. What we need is to tilt it to the busing people at the present time. At least to get our friends along.
I think George and I can do that, Mr. President.
You think it'd be worthwhile?
Yes. Because the House members, if they're here late tonight, they will not be able to get the plans away from here. They do have a House schedule tomorrow. Now, there'll be a lot of absenteeism, but we could reach them tomorrow morning. We could work this afternoon to set up a session. And Dick Cook and Bill can get them set. I can get George Shultz, and he and I can do a little preparatory work so that I can tell him, as I'm sure he already knows, how to plan it to answer their concerns. Mr. President, I think I did drop the ball to some extent in failing to emphasize Section 406, the reopening section, and the 5 and 10 year provisions in the Equal Educational Opportunities Act. We didn't highlight those to the extent that we should.
We favored, my God, we had as much. What is a, have you discussed this thing with Wilson and said,
yes,
he wants to talk to Harry?
Yes.
Maybe he's too close to it. Maybe we're all too close to it. He's close. Get it.